This morning's a bit of a convergence of two one words as I received help from you for this sermon series. One was on the book of Numbers, and I just can't do a whole sermon on the book of Numbers. So I want to give you a kind of an introduction because it is our first scripture reading of the morning. But the book of Numbers covers 38 years of Israel's history, which was the period of time from their desert wandering in the Sinai Peninsula. And Numbers, the book, actually begins 2 years after the people's escape from slavery in Egypt. And it ends on the eve of their entrance into Canaan, also known as the Promised Land. The title of the book comes from the numbering or the census of Israel in the early chapters of the book and then again in chapter 26. If I were ever to give it another name, I might want to call it the sour gripes of a nation. The book of Numbers is one long, sad story of moaning and groaning and whining and complaining and extreme discontent. The entire generation that had been witnesses to God delivering the people from slavery in Egypt, well, now only three men survive: Moses, Joshua, and the character that we're looking at this morning, the character of Caleb. So I would invite you to join with me as we look at the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and then I'll move a little bit into chapter 14. I invite you to follow along, and those Bibles that are before you are on the screen behind me. But Caleb, it says, quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim, the Anakites from the Nephilim, and to ourselves we seem like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Now into chapter 14. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the Israelites, 'The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' But the whole congregation threatened to stone them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When an athlete announces sometime during the season that he's going to be retiring, he sort of goes on a farewell tour. And in just about every stadium or arena in which he plays, that visiting team showers that retiring athlete with gifts. And one of the gifts that the athlete can always count on as a retirement gift is a rocking chair. A rocking chair for the old guy. Well, friends, as I have looked through the Holy Scriptures from the beginning to the end, I cannot find anywhere in God's word where it mentions anything about a theology of retirement. And so we are called by God to continue to love, give, and serve him throughout our entire lives. This morning, on this Father's Day, I want to offer to you the patron saint of aging, a man by the name of Caleb. Caleb is known as a sort of second fiddle in the Bible. He wasn't Abraham. He was no Moses. He was no David. He's one of those figures who's just sort of penciled into the margins of the biblical narrative. But what a character Caleb was. We get our first glimpse of Caleb in the Bible when he is in his 40s. As you heard me read earlier from the book of Numbers, Caleb was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy out the promised land before the children of Israel were to go in and take possession of the land. And of the 12 spies who went, 10 come back and say, "No way, don't even think about doing this. This is a really bad idea. The inhabitants of Canaan are so big, they're so scary, that next to them, we look no bigger than grasshoppers." But then it's Caleb's turn to come forward and step up to the microphone. And I love what it says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. It says, "Caleb quieted the crowd and said, 'Yes, the sons of Anak are big and are strong, but with God on our side, they are no more than bread for us.'" In other words, folks, we are going to eat these guys for lunch. And so let's go. Let's move forward in confidence and faith and take this land. But because Israel followed the timid 10 instead of the dynamic duo of Joshua and Caleb, God made them to wander around in the wilderness for over 40 years. Think back over the last 45 years of your life, if you are even that old. 45 years ago, I am getting ready to start my senior year in high school. 45 years ago, Jimmy Carter was president. Iranian radicals invaded the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took 90 hostages, including 53 of them Americans. John Paul II visited the United States. Michael Jackson released his first album. McDonald's introduced the Happy Meal, but with no toy. Gas was 86 cents a gallon. The average new car cost about $5,000. A gallon of milk cost $1.03, and a loaf of bread cost 40 cents. Since then, over the last 45 years, the Giants have won 4 Super Bowls. And the Eagles have only won 1. You knew I had to get that in there, right? The personal computer was born. The internet was developed. We fought 2 wars in the Gulf and 1 in Afghanistan. New York City and Washington, D.C. were hit with terrorist attacks. We elected the first in our nation's history African-American president. And now, 45 years later, you can watch this worship service online today, tomorrow, and wherever you may be. A lot has gone on in the past 45 years, just like a lot had gone on for the Israelites and for Caleb as well. In fact, during that time, every member of that generation died, including Moses. They were all gone except for 2 people, Caleb and Joshua. And so here they are, the children of Israel, 45 years later, poised to go in and take the land. Would you like to guess who they ask to address the troops? You got it. 85-year-old Caleb. I love what Muhammad Ali once said. He said, "Age is mind over matter. As long as you don't mind, it don't matter." So here is Caleb, this leather-faced warrior with stooped shoulders and arthritic hands. Behind him is the lush green of that promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And what a sermon Caleb delivers to the people. And so I want to invite you to join with me as I read from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14, which has a portion of Caleb's sermon to the people. Again, you can follow along on the screen. It says, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him an honest report. But my companions who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And now, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel was journeying through the wilderness. And here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war, for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. So Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Let us pray. God, give us the ears to hear what it is you are saying to us this morning, the wisdom, the smarts, that we might understand it, a faith that goes beyond our own understanding. But Lord, give us the courage like Caleb, to live wholeheartedly for you each and every day. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, first, I want you to appreciate Caleb's patience. It's been 45 years since God first promised to him the promised land. You know how it is for us today. We get anxiety attacks if God doesn't answer our prayers in like 3 days. It's sort of like the person who stands in front of the microwave and yells, hurry up. I mean, we do that. But here it is, 45 years later, and this dream of Caleb's is about to come true. And I just love his response, because notice he does not say, well, here I am, 85 years old. A lot of good is going to do me now, Lord. Thanks for nothing. He doesn't say that, does he? Instead, Caleb's heart overflows with gratitude because of what God has shown and taught him all those years. He says, just as the Lord promised to me, has kept me alive these 45 years, and so here I am, 85 years old. Agatha Christie, the great mystery writer, was married to an archaeologist. And she said one time, there are tremendous advantages to being married to an archaeologist. For one thing, the older I get, the more interested he is in me. Well, Caleb was interested in living the adventure of what God had in store for him in the later years of his life. And then I want you to notice Caleb's confidence. He says, I am still as strong as the day Moses sent me out. God had prepared him his whole life for this moment, and Caleb was ready. He was confident in the promises of God. Love the story of the elderly man who had really bad eyesight, and he went to one of the art galleries in Lancaster, and as soon as he walked in, he began criticizing all of the various paintings that were hanging on the wall. He said, oh, look at that landscape scene. It's lopsided, and there's way too much green in the picture. And then he walked over to another painting. He says, oh, look at that. The sunset. Oh, good grief. It's the wrong shade of orange. And he continued walking through the gallery, and he stopped in front of a full-length portrait, and he eyed it carefully top to bottom. And then he crinkled his nose and said, oh, this picture is terrible. The man is shabbily dressed. His face is way too pale. What was the artist thinking when he chose such a shoddy subject for this portrait? And just then, the man's wife came alongside of him and whispered in his ear and said, honey, that's not a painting. You're actually looking in the mirror. Now, when Caleb looked in the mirror, what he saw was the one who was following the will of God. That what was being reflected back to him. Now, would you like to know Caleb's secret? We find it in Joshua 14:8. He says, I have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. That three times in our passage today, Caleb is described as following God wholeheartedly. It also says this about him three other times, twice in the book of Numbers and once in the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, almost every time he's mentioned, the name Caleb and the word wholeheartedly are linked together. Now, what's interesting to me is the meaning of the word wholehearted. In the Hebrew, it carries the sense of being full or to fill up. In fact, I even read where it means to close the gap, like a hunter closing the gap between himself and his prey. In other words, filling the space between. And so following God wholeheartedly meant for Caleb that he was committed to keeping the distance between himself and God to a minimum. He was determined to stay close to God, to fill in the gap and the space in between. And through it all, Caleb did in fact stay close to God. Caleb's secret in life was to follow God fully. And friends, so should we. There was a study done to try to find out the answer to the question, why are there so many heart attacks in Nevada and so few in the state of Utah? They have virtually the same demographics, the same wealth, the same age of population, the same climate. But if you look at the statistics, Utah is at the top of life expectancy, and right next door is a neighboring state. Nevada is at the very bottom of life expectancy. And the reason is Utah is the seat of Mormonism. People attend church regularly. They have family values and they have stable marriages. And of course, well, Nevada is the place of Las Vegas, where there's legalized prostitution and gambling and all those financial losses. And studies have shown that the two biggest indicators of a person's health as they age are regular church attendance and a stable marriage. And so, friends, there are common sense, practical reasons why we should follow God. Now, do you know what the name Caleb means? In Hebrew, it means dog, which makes perfect sense because a dog is faithful, loyal, and obedient. USA Today has produced some statistics that you may not want to hear if you are a dog owner. Assuming a 15-year lifespan, and including everything from the initial purchase to end-of-life care, the total lifetime cost of owning a dog can run as high as $55,000. $7,000 for food, $9,000 for the veterinarian, $5,000 for grooming, kenneling, toys, equipment, and a house, $2,000 for flea and tick treatment. Training will cost you over $3,000. That's for the dog, not you. And $2,000 or more for miscellaneous items such as home and furniture damage. You really have to love your pet to be willing to shell out that kind of dough. But you do. Because a dog is faithful, loyal, and obedient. Well, like a dog before his master, Caleb lived his life before an audience of one, and that audience was God. He lived in complete obedience to God with a joy and zeal for life. And because he followed God fully, Caleb did not follow our culture's understanding of aging. You know, from our society's perspective, life is sort of like this bell curve where we go up, 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 up to the peak, and then we go down, 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 all the way to the bottom. And it's in that downhill slide where we get all of our jokes. I love the story of the elderly man who was walking down the street one day. When he looked down, he saw a frog. And as he bent down, the frog said, "If you kiss me, I will turn into a beautiful princess." The elderly man reached down, picked up the frog, put it in his front pocket, and continued walking. A little bit later on, the frog said, "Hey, did you hear me? I said, if you kiss me, I will turn into a beautiful princess." And the elderly man said, "Yeah, I heard you. It's just that at this stage of my life, I'd rather have a talking frog." Now, we laugh at these jokes, thank you very much. But life is not just one big downward spiral as we get older into the abyss. Caleb's understanding was that life was like a ladder leading him all the way up to the pearly gates of heaven. My friends, as I close, life is God. Life is joy. Life is prayer. And you know what? The older I get, I think the better I understand this. And maybe the reason that God graciously leads each of us through this aging process is because it is through our aging that God teaches us the meaning of life. Life is not all about doing things or accomplishing things or even looking good. Life is loving. Life is caring. Life is following God wholeheartedly. And so may all of you live, love, serve, and follow God fully, just like Caleb. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for those soldiers of the faith who throughout their lives have followed you fully and wholeheartedly. We thank you for the example of Caleb in the Bible as one who was ready for lifelong obedience and service to you. We thank you for all of the Calebs of this congregation who serve as shining examples for the rest of us. God, help us in our climb to keep rolling along, because our faith gives us power in you regardless of our age. And that is true throughout our entire lives. And God, we want to be ready for lifelong lessons. And so may we know who we are, whose we are, and where we stand before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.